Hello, my name is Jessie Nowak, and I'm the Funds Development Director at DanceWire. Today is February 28th, 2022, and I'm here with Rob Hilario. And I want to talk to him about his life, career, as a dance artist, as part of our Artist Story series.
Oh God, I'm so nervous now.
So welcome. I hope you're being recorded. So let's start with your current titles.
My current titles, okay, mainly dance instructor for Vitalidad Movement Arts and Event Center, and casino dancer at large.
At large.
Sometimes I do choreography, sometimes I perform. It just depends on when the opportunity strikes.
And when you get coerced into doing it.
Yeah, when I get coerced into doing it. That's a long story. It's not enough time for this interview, but... Yeah.
Great. So can you give me a brief overview of how you got started in dance?
It's pretty, I don't know, I feel it's, well, it was totally on accident, basically. To be honest, I was basically drifting through life after high school and through college. I had just finished college. I had a contract job with Nike doing some merchandising for their watches and sunglasses. And this is when I was still in San Francisco, obviously. And I had a circuit of stores that I'd have to go do my thing at. And the main store was one of the Macy's in San Francisco. And I ran into one of the associates there. And it turned out he was part of a hip hop group in San Francisco. I think it was Soul Force. I'm going to drop some names for you. For those of you in hip hop, I hope you've heard of Makaya in San Francisco. That was the group that my friend was in. And she wanted him and all her other dancers in the troupe to be more versatile. So she pointed them out to a casino class. Mm-hmm. Of course, I didn't know it was casino at the time. It was just quote-unquote salsa. And I guess I can explain some of that throughout the interview. Yeah.
Can we back up a little bit? So you became part of Soul Force?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I just went with him and his other dancers to the class.
Okay.
Because I came home from a different job at San Francisco. You know, came from a different job at Saturday evening. My friend calls me up, and he's always the event coordinator for our group of friends. And he goes, "Hey, you want to take the salsa class?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." You know, because he usually plans a lot of fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went. And it's like, oh, I didn't know you danced salsa in a circle. That was September 2005. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And the rest is history.
The rest, now I'm talking to you. Yep. Right, now I'm talking to you. Yep.
Awesome. So what does it mean to you, or has it meant to you in your life? Dance, that is. What has dance meant to you?
Before I learned this, So what does it mean to me? Like I said, when I was after I finished high school, I was basically drifting through life and wasn't sure what I wanted to do in life. I was into sports and, you know, video games like every other high school and college male would be doing, you know, at that time, or at least the majority of them would. And then after I finished school, you know, I was just, you know, doing the 9-to-5 and making sure rent was paid on time and all that stuff and going through the boob tube like everybody else was. By all intents and purposes, I just found this totally by chance. So it's given me purpose. It's in a way, it's been healing for me. The things I learned before learning casino, I've been able to apply to it, like training with sports or just like even the piano lessons that my mom and dad forced me to take when I was a kid helped me with getting better at at doing what I do now. Mm-hmm. And then in return, you know, it's given a lot back. The people I've met, the adventures I've had, the experiences I've had. Yeah.
I mean, I think most dancers feel something similar, just like, oh, wait, what does it feel, or what does it mean to me? And it's like, purpose. For me, it's like, I don't know any other way. It's a part of who I am. And so those really almost inexplicable connections and ties onto your heartstrings that you have with dance and the people that you've danced with. I definitely would say, like, without embarrassment or question, like, I love everyone I've danced with. And so those ties are really, really strong. All right. So what challenges have you faced as a dance artist?
Here or in San Francisco or both?
Let's do chronological.
Okay,
let's
chronological.
Start from the beginning.
Okay, so a little more detail into what casino is for those of us listening that aren't quite sure what it is. It is a Cuban partner dance. It started in Havana in the late 40s / early 50s. You could dance it as a partner dance or as a group dance, also known as Rueda de Casino. It's grouped with salsa because they're both very similar. But salsa started in the 70s, I believe, in New York. Don't quote me on that. I'm not too sure. But I know that casino came before salsa.
Yeah.
But like I said, they're similar but not the same. So when my friend said, hey, you want to take a salsa class? I had no idea exactly what I was going into. And it was a Rueda class. And they said, and I'm like, oh, okay, you dance salsa in a circle. Okay, that's fine. The initial challenge for me was when I got to advanced Rueda classes where everything is called for you. And I was then told in the advanced Rueda class to just partner up with someone and actually lead them one on one. And it was a nightmare. It was bad. I did not know how to lead a single damn thing. So from there, the very first challenge was, okay, I need to know how to actually communicate with my partner about stuff. So I remember meeting up with another student before class the next week. She showed me some things. I started getting some things down. And then I'm like, okay, let's see how good I can really be. How good can I actually be as a partner dancer? And it just kind of took off from there. Other challenges was... And this is more personal than business for me, learning better social interactions with people. You know, growing up, you know, I didn't go out much, whether it be by choice or not. So expanding my world, my social world, was another challenge. Because I'm actually, you know, interacting with another person in a way that, you know, I wasn't used to. Granted, there's verbal, but there's the physical way, too. So that was a big challenge to just be able to interact with people, whether it be in a verbal way, emotional way, or physical way.
What I'm hearing is this challenge that you overcame expanded your social skills in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I found kind of funny now that I think about it, because I haven't had, since I started, I actually haven't had a time to reflect.
Yeah.
So.
That's why we do these. So then challenges in Portland specifically.
The casino scene in San Francisco, in my opinion, is the biggest in North America. Mm-hmm. You can dance, specifically casino, at least 3 or 4 times a week. you know, shout out to everybody in San Francisco. I love you guys. Here, it's a smaller, community, smaller but dedicated. One of the goals, and you know, it was just totally a general thing when I first moved here, was to make the casino scene here stronger, as in, you know, people who really knew how to dance it, and also, you know, having places for people to go and dance. It's the struggle continues after about 10 years. I moved here in April 2012, so it'll be 10 years April 1st, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, ironic day for me to move here, but yeah.
April 1st.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm curious if you had, obviously prior to 2020, had you seen any shift in the casino community since you got, I know you're not the only teacher, mm-hmm. but having connected with other teachers that did mm-hmm. casino, had you seen any kind of change in the 8 years prior to COVID?
I think so. When I got here, there were, quote unquote, there were veteran casino dancers here who, you know, who have taken classes for a number of years and knew up to a certain level. Mm-hmm. And then coming here, I hope I was able to expand what they knew, whether it be like vocabulary or concepts or and things like that. Mm-hmm. They were really good to begin with. I just hope I made them even better. Mm-hmm. You know, I've like one class I've taught here for pretty much the whole time I've been here, and I have like 4 or 5 students who've been with me since day one.
Yeah.
And I've seen the improvement with them. Mm-hmm. There's one student I had who I hold close. He was taking class with me for about 6 or 7 years, and he was a little older, a little huskier, but I really admired his perseverance. I considered him to be my best student, even though, you know, he might be older or whatever. And he recently, right before the pandemic, he got in a skiing accident and lost the use of his legs. So I was very sad when that happened.
Yeah.
I tried to keep in touch with him, but you know, our lives just diverted. I definitely need to keep get a hold of him again.
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, so the small but dedicated, I've met at least 2 people. I don't think either of them from Portland, but at least 2 people who, yeah, are just super passionate about casino and they're in the scene. But there's definitely an element of it being sort of underground.
You know?
Like even more so now than some street dances.
Yeah. It's definitely underground.
You know,
yeah.
So how do you attract new students, and like how many new students are you able to attract? I don't need like an analytics number,
right.
But just generally like,
You know, it's funny that you ask, because, before the pandemic, there was a small stream of new students who had tried out,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some would stick, some would not, you know, mm-hmm. some people find out it's not for them, which is fine. What's funny is that since November, I've had a huge amount of students come into my level one class, my beginner class. I'm like, where'd all these people come from?
Mm.
I don't know what happened, but, I think the pandemic may have been a factor. Like, mm-hmm. people are, they're done, you know, staying home. It's like, I want to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, salsa is definitely more popular, you know, it just is, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like very recently, the past like 3 or 4 months, there's been some interest in casino.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint what it is, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, I will be curious to check in with you in about 6 months to see how many
yeah.
have stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Cuba was in the news a lot last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I mean, I think people are just looking for outlets.
Yeah.
They want to be out
yeah.
with people. And
well, hopefully the showcase last August helped. So,
yeah. yeah, and to try something new, right?
Yeah.
People are looking for
yeah.
new experiences beyond
yeah.
just go sit down and have a chat over a drink.
Yeah, yeah.
So what people, resources, and or opportunities have helped you the most?
Starting from the beginning, I will give some shout outs here. James Castaneda, he's the one who introduced me to Casino. He was the one in the hip hop troupe. Sydney Weaverling and Ryan Mead. I did not start with them, but once I got to a certain level, I started going to, I took a couple of their classes, and it helped expand my vocabulary and knowledge. Ryan has his master's in, I believe it's in music and rhythm. Mm-hmm. So I've taken some, I took a private with him to help expand my knowledge in that as well. Because yeah. There's not only the dance, there's the music to it too, which is vastly different than salsa music. Mm-hmm. And I'll try not to get off onto a tangent there. I got a lot of opportunities from the directors of Salsa Valedoto. While the run did not end the way I wanted it to, I did learn a lot while I was there. Also, friends here in Portland, Aaron and Gabriella Webb, Jenny Fremont, Meredith Michaud. I'm giving a lot of shout outs here. They were a big influence in me moving here. Also, Mike Eskinson of Room Banana. He was a big influence for me moving here as well. I want to thank them for putting up with me for the first 5 years or so.
Yeah, we all have those people that we need to thank.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting up with me while I figured out what I was doing. So what stage do you feel you are at in your career? This is a three-part question.
Sure.
What stage do you feel you're at in your career? How do you want to move forward? And what goals do you have around that?
All right. Stage I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. The pandemic has been a big factor. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that I'm sure everyone had to juggle. I think now that hopefully there's an end in sight. With the pandemic and other things, I feel like I got distracted a little bit. Now that things are starting to clear, I'm at the stage where I need to refocus and rededicate to the classes now. I was teaching 5 classes before the pandemic, and right now it's at 4. Right now I don't think I'll go back to 5. I just need to keep the workload at a nice, at a nice level. So that's the stage where I'm at now, where I just want to rededicate. Mm-hmm. What was the second part again?
How do you want to move forward?
A couple students want me to start a group. Mm. I'm like, okay, well, I told them if I'm going to start a group with you guys, I'm going to have to do it a specific way. And it's, they're very enthusiastic and they're great to be around. So I'm like, okay, for you guys, I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully once things normalize again, I do know they want to perform. Mm-hmm. So it's a good opportunity to, again, the original goal for me was to make the dancers here stronger, as in better. So bringing in a new group to help them improve and get better and to discover how fun this can be is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And then in 10 years,
we're not there yet.
Not yet. We'll get there. Okay. Yeah. What was the third part?
So goals that you
goals.
Have.
Oh, yeah. Goals. I don't think I've fulfilled the original goal that I had when coming here. So it's time to work on that again.
Circle back around
to it. Right now there's an event that we can go to that I host along with Gabby and Aaron. Mm-hmm. It's twice a month. This one is this Friday. Just
plug.
To let you know.
Plug.
Cruise Room, Northeast Alberta, and 24th. It's 8 to midnight. $5, all the timba you can handle. That's the music that you'll be listening to. All casino dancers there. Of course, everyone is welcome.
Yes.
Yep. This Friday, March 4th. Sorry.
Friday, March 4th. Which this might not come out before then, but that's
okay.
Yeah. Every other Friday.
First and third Fridays.
First and third Fridays.
Yeah.
Okay, great. How hard is it balancing administrative work with your own artistic pursuits?
I think since I'm not as much of a performer, that I don't have to line up gigs or anything like that, I feel like for me it's a little bit easier. Like for me, the goals for each for week to week would be, okay, who do I have in class this week? Mm-hmm. What are they doing well? What do they need to improve on?
Sure.
Yeah. Granted, like the level one and two classes, there's a set curriculum, but it will, I'll always, you know, go away from it if I need to. Mm-hmm. But there's some basic things that especially the new students need to know. But like the higher levels, it's definitely challenging and more fun because they can do more. But I recently have been guilty of pushing them a little too hard. Mm-hmm. So I may have to scale it back a little bit. Again, it's just feeling out who's there, mm-hmm. and what they're ready for and what they need to be pushed into a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the daily or the weekly challenge for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, putting it into like a class planning context. Mm-hmm. You've got your class plan set for your lower levels,
mm-hmm.
but you just feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's here? What needs to happen? So yeah. Do you get pretty disparate needs when you class plan or when you go in and...
Recently, yes. Recently, yes. Yeah. I mean, there are some people who just get
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And then there are some who have never taken a dance class before, mm-hmm. who may need a little more hand-holding and guidance.
Sure.
So it's an interesting challenge to take care of both ends of the spectrum in the same class.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's especially, I mean, I'm sure every teacher is nodding their head right now. every dance instructor is nodding their head right now. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good challenge. It's a fun challenge. It helps me to be a better instructor as well.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Being observant and having to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You pretty much already covered this question, but do you have anything you want to add about describing the dance scene in Portland? What's fabulous and what needs work?
What's fabulous is that, seeing people make lifelong connections. Some of the people, a lot of the regulars that I see, I've known for at least 14 years. And as far as like the new people are concerned, hopefully they'll find something that they'll be able to enjoy for a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously at DanceWire, we are all about connecting people to dance. And that's one thing that we hear so much people have lost during the pandemic. And even prior to that, new people would come to dance who'd never danced before. And it was the community and the connection that they stayed for even more than maybe moving their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's a whole community that revolves around casino or be it flamenco or whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right, now you get to paint your really idealistic picture of what the dance scene in Portland is like in 10 years.
Oh, geez. All right. When I first moved here, when I was younger and dumber, I'm going to make this like San Francisco, you know? but now that I'm more grizzled, it's good to have that aspiration, but as long as I'm somewhere near that,
mm-hmm.
it'll be great. You know, maybe at least maybe an event once a week where, like, if some people can't make it to the event, it's still a good event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, we haven't hit that critical mass yet.
Right.
Yeah. It's a small but dedicated community. Granted, I feel like it's getting a little bit bigger than it was when I first got here.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like once we get that critical mass of people who are like, oh, this is a lot more fun than I thought. Where has this been all my life?
Mm-hmm.
So if I can get, if I or Gavin Aaron, can get an event running at least once a week where people just go and have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, that was basically my goal when I got into this. I just wanted to go out and I'd have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, being in a performance group, you know, that just kind of fell into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always been the type of person to go where life takes me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this 10-year stuff is like, oh my God, you're making me think too far.
Oh, for
ahead.
Sure. Yeah. No, I totally relate.
Stop it, Jesse.
Well, idealistic, right? Yeah. So it doesn't need to be grounded in reality anyway.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's good to have an end to the journey toward, but.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm quoting something I read. It's the journey that matters in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. For sure. Well, Rob, thank you so much for coming in and sharing about your experience and your perspective. You are definitely the first casino ambassador that we've ever had.
Oh, thanks.
I hope you're not the last.
Yeah. Well, if you want me a second year, let me know. But,
right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, and as we see, you know, I don't know, I'm biased. Mm-hmm. I danced a little bit with Nastasia, and I don't know if I ever went to a Room Banana event, but they were definitely in my periphery, so I'm biased. Casino's super fun. Yeah. It's super fun. Yeah. All right, Rob. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jesse.